Radio Prague News.
Czechs have begun going to the polls to vote in Senate and local elections. President Klaus has showed a strong stance on energy policy ahead of an informal EU summit in Finland. Prague's mayor, Pavel Bem, has confirmed that anti-terrorism measures taken in Prague were enforced in connection with the Jewish New Year. Czechs have begun voting in Senate and local elections, with polls opening at 1400 hours Central European time on Friday. Voting is taking place for local town and city councils and for a third of lawmakers in the 81-seat upper house of parliament, the Senate. The vote is seen as the first major test of public opinion since parliamentary elections proved inconclusive in June. A second round of Senate elections will take place next weekend, seeing a head-to-head finish between the two top-finishing candidates who failed to gain 50% of the vote in the first round. Polling stations will close at 1400 hours Central European time on Saturday. Ahead of an informal EU summit on energy policy, the Czech President Václav Klaus voiced strong words on EU dependence on Russian oil and natural gas, suggesting the EU should rethink its current energy policy. Currently, one quarter of the EU's oil and natural gas come from Russia. According to Mr. Klaus, if the EU is to strengthen its hand, it will have to rely more on its own coal sources as well as nuclear energy. EU representatives have begun meeting at the informal summit in Finland, but Mr. Klaus said he found it unlikely that the Union would be able to agree on a joint position before welcoming Russia's President Vladimir Putin later on Friday. Prague's mayor, Pavel Bem, has confirmed that anti-terrorism measures taken in Prague, relaxed recently, came in connection with celebrations of the Jewish New Year. Mr. Bem made the statement on Friday, saying that the Jewish facilities in the city center had been considered potential targets. Until now, politicians had avoided officially confirming speculation by the media concerning potential attacks. It was last month that the Civic Democrat minority government led by Mirek Topolánek issued extraordinary security measures after the cabinet received supposedly concrete information about the threat of potential attacks. These security measures were softened at the beginning of the week. Policemen continue monitoring some buildings in the capital, though their number has been lowered. Deputy Police President Jan Brazda revealed that police concluded the situation had improved considerably. And finally, just a quick look at the weather for the weekend. Saturday should be partly cloudy, with daytime highs reaching temperatures of around 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Linda Maštalíš. In today's program, Czechs head to the polls for Senate and municipal elections. Another scandal hits the political scene and could leave a serious mark on election results. And a roundup of this week's business news. Then later, in this week's Arts, Jan Wellinger looks at the new film Grand Hotel by Czech director David Ondříček. All that and more, so please stay tuned. Czechs go to the polls this Friday and Saturday. They're casting their ballots in municipal elections and to elect one-third of the upper house of parliament, the Senate. The elections will not affect the makeup of the legislative body, the Chamber of Deputies, and yet all five parliamentary parties are eagerly awaiting the results. As Dita Asiadu reports, the weekend's developments could influence the ongoing government negotiations as well as the next presidential election.
This weekend, Czechs vote on which of the 200,000 candidates will fill more than 62,000 posts up for grabs in the country's district and town councils. One-third of the Senate, which means 27 of the 81 senators in the upper house, are also to be replaced. So why will party leaders and MPs be watching the elections so closely? Over 4 months have passed since the general elections and the country is still without a government. Political commentator Vladimír Advoťáková says, this weekend, Czechs have the opportunity to send party leaders their message on where their parties really stand on the popularity ladder.
There is still no cabinet with vote of confidence, we have a cabinet that, in fact, is in demise, so cannot have real legitimacy. And there is supposed to start a second round of negotiations about the formation of the cabinet. And for the political parties, it's very important to know what's their position, because if it's worsen, probably the party will not be very happy with the idea of preterm elections. And if it's the popularity is growing, you know, could say, okay, this can be fine and we can ask for the elections and we will have deeper or better results and we will be able to form cabinet by own party, by the only one party or small coalitions and so on.
Besides party leaders, President Václav Klaus also has a special interest in this weekend's developments. He is to decide who will be entrusted with the second attempt at forming a new government after the results come in. The political makeup of the third of the Senate will also affect Mr. Klaus personally. Members of both chambers of parliament will elect a new president in 2008, so the 27 new senators will play an important role in behind-the-scenes negotiations. Vladimíra Dvořáková.
This is also a message for the president who can, after Senate elections, who can count how many votes he can be sure with and how many votes he's not so sure with and how many votes are there that will vote against him. So, but it's not only this, because it depends who will be appointed by the president to start these negotiations. President can also decide whether to be someone more in favor of preterm elections or more trying to find a stable situation.
Polls close at 2 p.m. on Saturday, but next weekend we'll see a second round of Senate elections. Those of the 204 candidates who get more than 50% of votes this weekend have automatically won. In districts where there is no decisive winner, the two candidates who won most votes will continue into the second round.
And that report by Dita Asiedu. History is repeating itself. For the second time in 6 months, Czechs are going to the polls amidst unfolding corruption scandals, which concern the two chief rivals on the Czech political scene, the center-right Civic Democrats and the center-left Social Democratic Party. It is important for people to go to the polls since elections to a third of the Senate could tip the constitutional balance of power. But political analysts predict that disgruntled Czechs may decide to vote with their feet. Daniela Lazarová has the story.
There's been no let-up since June. One political scandal has followed another, and the operative word is corruption. The two which erupted on the Czech political scene this week were perfectly timed. Once again, they concerned the two rival parties, which means that both have had to go into the elections with a cloud hanging over them. Jana Hibášková, leader of the European Democrats, a small centre-right party, on Tuesday accused the Civic Democratic Party of having asked for a 3 million crown bribe in a certain transaction, money which was allegedly intended for two Civic Democratic Party ministers and a deputy for that party. The Civic Democrats cried foul, but if their Social Democratic Party rivals thought this scandal would give them an edge, they were mistaken. Less than 48 hours before polling stations opened, a former Deputy Minister for Regional Development, who is charged with abusing EU structural funds, through a bombshell. She told police investigators that the former Social Democrat Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek was involved in the fraudulent practices she was accused of and had exerted pressure on her through his personal assistant Martin Vlasta. Mr. Paroubek has vehemently denied the accusation and made some of his own, saying that certain members of the police force were trying to discredit him ahead of the elections. Wherever the truth lies, the damage has been done. The air is thick with speculation, accusations and unconfirmed reports. And once again, it is up to the voters to make up their minds who they want to believe. The Senate vote is particularly important, since it could tip the constitutional balance of power. If the two strongest parties, the Civic and Social Democrats, gain 5 more seats between them, they would command a 2/3 majority in both houses of parliament, enabling them to push through constitutional reform, for instance, to alter the voting system in such a way that would effectively eliminate smaller parties. Indirectly, this weekend's vote could decide about the country's next government, next president, and possible changes to the constitution. However, it is not clear whether the public, which is fed up with the state of Czech politics and politicians, will keep in mind what is at stake, put aside its resentment, and go to the polls.
And thanks, Daniela, for that update. And now it's time for a look at this week's business news, and Dita Asiadu joins me in the studio.
Thanks, Linda. Frontier Petroleum Services, or FPS, a Canadian company, is suing the Czech Republic for more than 450 million crowns, which is over 20 million US dollars. The Czech economic weekly Euro magazine reports that the lawsuit has been launched to compensate for an unpaid loan. In 2001, FPS granted a Czech company, Moravan Aeroplanes, a loan of 200 million crowns to buy aircraft maker Let Kunovice, a bankrupt company. In return, FPS was to receive a 49% stake in the revamped company, and the loan was to be paid from subsequent profits. However, both companies concerned went bankrupt by 2004, and so now FPS is seeking compensation directly from the Czech state. The outgoing finance minister Vlastimil Tlustý says that he'll deal with the claim directly rather than leaving the matter for international arbitration.
Ashok Leyland, an Indian company, is the new 90% shareholder of Czech lorry maker Avia. Thursday's edition of the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reports that Ashok Leyland paid 35 million US dollars, that's nearly 800 million Czech crowns, for Avia, a figure cited from the Indian daily The Hindu. The purchase price has, however, not been confirmed by either Ashok Leyland or the Odeon Group, Avia's former owner. Ashok Leyland has not yet said whether it intends to squeeze out the remaining 10% minority shareholders in Avia.
American car sealings producer GDX Automotive is planning to move its production line from plants in Odry and Příbor in northern Moravia to Ostrava. Company representatives say that GDX will close the Odry plant, laying off 20% of the more than 600 staff. The remaining employees will commute to the plant at the Ostrava-Hrabova Industrial Park. The Příbor plant will lose about 300 staff in the restructuring plan. GDX aims to launch production at the Ostrava plant in January 2007. The move is expected to cut production costs and enable a growth in production. GDX Automotive currently employs 1,000 people in the Czech Republic and a total of 7,000 in 8 different countries.
Czech businessman Zdeněk Bakala, owner of RPG Industries, has sold Metalimex, one of the largest Czech companies, to entrepreneur Petr Otava. The sale price, as reported in Thursday's edition of the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, hovered in the 1.5 billion to 2 billion crown range. That's around 89 million US dollars. Metalimex ranks second on the Czech market in the trade of steel, metals, and iron ore, behind the Czech giant Moravia Steel. Petr Otava has refused to comment on his purchase of Metalimex, confirming only that he bought 90% of the company. Metalimex sales reached 31 billion crowns, over 1.3 billion US dollars, in 2005, just behind the Czech retail chain Makro and ahead of mobile operator Eurotel, now Telefonica O2.
And Czech carmaker Škoda Auto, a member of the Volkswagen Group, reports that it will produce more than 20,000 Škoda Roomsters in 2006. The Roomster model went on the market in mid-2006, and Škoda Auto has set future target sales for the Roomster at more than 50,000 units per year. Škoda Auto expects to produce more than 500,000 cars in this year, a company record. Sales are expected to total roughly 530,000 cars. Škoda Auto has 3 plants, its flagship location in the central Bohemian city of Mladá Boleslav, and employs over 26,000 people.
A report prepared by Czech bank Česká spořitelna says that the sale of 49% of shares in Prague airport operator Letiště Praha and in postal service provider Česká pošta could bring the state more than 23 billion crowns, that's over 1 billion U.S. dollars, in revenue. The sale of a portion of Letiště Praha could yield as much as 17 billion crowns alone. Both Letiště Praha and Česká pošta are currently state-owned companies, and the report states that they are ideal candidates for privatization, both being essential service providers. In order for the state to be able to sell a portion of the companies, they must first undergo a transformation into joint stock companies, a process already underway in the case of Letiště Praha. The sale of state assets over capital markets has been commonplace in Central Europe, with the privatization of both Austrian Post and PKO Bank Polski, and Czech governments have also been exploring similar options. Just a reminder, you're tuned to Radio Prague. And now it's time for this week's edition of Arts with Jan Wellinger, who looks at the new film Grand Hotel by Czech director David Ondříček.
Six years ago, Czech film director David Ondříček scored a huge hit in the Czech Republic with the film Samotáři, or Loners, a hip and funny comedy depicting the quirky and wayward lives of 20-somethings in the Czech capital. Ever since, audiences have come to expect a lot from the director, more so following the relative disappointment that was his third film, One Hand Clapping. Now, the director is back with Grand Hotel, just released in the Czech cinemas. What's the film about? In today's Arts, you'll find out. The first thing one can say about Grand Hotel is that it is beautifully filmed, set in an unusual location not often explored on Czech screens. The town of Liberec and its surroundings in northern Bohemia. In this film especially, location is everything. The camera often dwells on images of the far-off mountains and the ever-changing weather that are the perfect setting for the film's main protagonist, Fleischmann. Why? Scriptwriter Jaroslav Rugiš explains.
I was thinking about Liberec because that's, in my point of view, one of the most interesting cities in Czech Republic. It's a bit lost in the north, surrounded by mountains, and it's like raining there all the time, and it has like very special atmosphere, also because of the history. And I had a story in my head about one 30-year-old guy who is not able to move from this town. He's full of such a anxiety. He has never had a girl, and he's living in the old hotel, and the only thing he's interested in is the weather. And he's like every day checking the temperature, pressure, and he knows everything about clouds.
It turns out that Fleischmann, an eccentric but ultimately friendly spirit, works in one of the Czech Republic's most instantly recognizable hotels, a 1960s architectural jewel, the rounded metallic spire known as Ješked, that sits atop the Czech Republic's Ješked mountain. Setting the film there, says Rugiš, wasn't a difficult decision.
It was the end of May, and it started to snow. The sun was shining, and in a minute there was a storm with snow. And we said, yeah, Fleischmann is observing the weather. That's the right place for him. That's it.
In effect, for better or for worse, Fleischmann is lost in Bohemia, unable to escape the area of his birth. He'd like to, but he simply can't. Deeply affected by his parents abandoning him at an early age. Whenever he tries to leave, he suffers anxiety attacks of such severity he is always forced to turn back, or source of some of the film's dark but comic scenes. If there is an escape of sorts, it is in the clouds. Fleischmann watches them day by day, even as ordinary life seeps in around him. There are arguments with his boss, There is something of a friendship with the wonderfully sleazy local waiter Patka. And of course there is the love interest played by the petite and wide-eyed Klara Isova, all employed at the hotel. Did I say love interest? Fleischmann, in all his geekiness, is of course the last to see it, though Isova's character grows closer to him as the story progresses. Who is Fleischmann? In a sense, a character following in a long line of naive little guys in Czech cinema, outcasts in everything from closely watched trains to Return of the Idiot to The Butners. He and all of the other characters in the film are effectively trapped in the Grand Hotel, their lives not going really anywhere, turning in circles. Fleischmann, meanwhile, is excellently played by actor Marek Taclík, whose face and expressiveness and depth are still largely undiscovered country. He is fascinating to watch. Taclík nails the character, making him convincing in all but a very few of the film's scenes. Jaroslav Rugiš again.
I saw just only a few screen tests David did with him, and for me it was from the first moment sure that he is the right Fleischmann, that he is maybe born for this character. And I know him a bit, just a bit, as a person, and I know he came to Prague also from the north, from Ústí nad Labem, and I can imagine that he was really able to relate to Fleischmann. He's a great actor, and I really appreciate it.
At the core is Fleischmann at 30, and the question is, will he, or the others, break the spell and find happiness and freedom? Slowly, Fleischmann finds his way, planning on escaping Liberec in, of all things, a hot air balloon. As Klara Isova's character grows closer to him as well, the question becomes, will she accompany him too? Things slowly reach ahead. A fight ensues between Isova's character and sleazy boyfriend Patka in one of the film's best scenes in the hotel kitchen. Realizing she means to leave him, he displays an unforgettable fireworks of ineffectual jealousy, insecurity, and rage. Many utensils are scattered and many eggs destroyed. Director David Ondříček.
All scenes in this film I very like, but my most favorite scene, and which I really liked on the set, was the fight in the kitchen, which is two and a half minutes in one shot, and it was... to be honest, I was really moved after this shot, and I like it very much.
Looking into the microcosm of life in the hotel, one has to wonder why characters like Fleischmann and the others trapped there, especially the beautiful Klara Isova, don't just pack up and leave earlier. A lot has to do with the region itself. Even if it's a backwater, it's a gorgeous and magical one. And Yeshket, even more than Fleischmann, is perhaps the film's most important character. Director David Ondříček again.
One of the most important things in this film, it's set and location. The location is a very magic place, and we stay there 3 months on that hotel on the top of the hill, 1,000 meters above sea level. For us, it was some kind of psychotherapy, I mean the crew and actors. And I say that after the film, we are different than before. We just waited a lot of time for weather. This film is a lot about weather, and we just waiting. And it was, for me, it was very frustrating, because sometimes we waiting for weather 2 days or something like that, and on the top of the hill outside of hotel, weather change a lot every 10 minutes, and it was very frustrating.
In the end, though, there's no question that waiting paid off. Many of the shots are stunning, and we see the surrounding hills at all times of day and night, in all kinds of conditions, early morning mist or summer afternoon. By the end, the audience too will feel at home. Different than before, says director David Ondříček? Yes, why not? Grand Hotel is different in the sense that it is unafraid to explore fully the genius Loki of an area and to incorporate it intrinsically into the story, far more than just any backdrop. And while the story of the late bloomer Fleischmann may not appeal to everyone, some will find it too lyrical or not take to its quirky humor, at least he is a character most of us can understand. When, at last, he overcomes his irrational need to leave, we know why. Yeshket is a beautiful place. one that he and his new girlfriend love.
And arts brings us to the end of today's program here on Radio Prague. If you feel like commenting on anything you've heard in today's show, or if you have any queries, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a letter to the usual address, Vinohradská 12, Prague 2, 12099, Czech Republic, or send us an email to english@radio.cz. But for now, from myself, Linda Maštelíš, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. Goodbye and take care.
Understand me.